The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Amen. So last week I whined, as preachers are wont to do from time to time, that we had to listen to the whole Jacob narrative in 4 weeks and that it just wasn't enough. And as I began to prepare for the following weeks, you get me 3 in a row. I don't know what the rest of the staff are doing, but I'm apparently preaching this summer. So, but I looked, we only get 2 weeks of Joseph. Like, how can you tell the Joseph story in 2 weeks? Because you need context to understand it. So how many of you read the weekly email? You're better than the 8 o'clockers. But then how many of you read chapters 37 through 50 of Genesis? Way better than the 8 o'clockers. All 5 of you, awesome. So the reason is that the Joseph story today, to understand what's going on, first of all, Joseph is number 11 of 12, but he's daddy's favorite because he's the firstborn son of the favorite wife, Rachel. It has nothing to do with the name. So he's daddy's favorite, and he gets the beautiful robe and the whole 9 yards. I totally identify with the brothers in this. My sister was my grandmother's favorite. And so the brothers are not so excited about, daddy's favorite little boy. And then on top of that, Joseph, faithful, the whole family is faithful. All the brothers of Israel were faithful. But Joseph has these dreams, and in these dreams, his brothers all bow down to him as like the ruler over them. And now it's one thing to have those dreams. Now, who is the youngest? Any of the youngest up here? Can you imagine going and telling your older siblings, "By the way, I had this dream, and you are all going to bow down in obeisance to me," just so you know how it's going to work out. So he's not on good terms with his brothers by any means. So today, the story picks up with Joseph being sent by his father, Jacob, /Israel, to go find his brothers, because what parent doesn't always hope the siblings are finally going to get along, right? And so he goes off to find his brothers, and the brothers see him coming down the hill, and they turn to each other and say, "It's 5 o'clock somewhere, let's have a margarita." No, that was last night, sorry, different sibling story. So the brothers look at each other and they're like, "You know what, we've had enough of him. He gets all of dad's attention, he has these crazy dreams, let's just kill him and we'll be done with them. Awesome." And then Reuben, the eldest of the 12, has a moment of sanity and says, "Well, maybe we won't kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit." And then so they throw him in a pit, and then here come their like fourth cousins, the Ishmaelites, and they say, "Ah, we don't have to have blood on our hands. We're going to sell him into slavery. Isn't that a great idea?" And so they sell him into slavery and send him off to Egypt. Honest? Not so much. Does it solve the brothers' problems? Temporarily. We'll hear more about that next week. Is slavery better than death? In this case, the answer would be yes. But the interesting part to me in this is that we don't hear from Joseph from the moment that his brothers begin to conspire. We don't hear from Joseph as they throw him in the pit. We don't hear from Joseph when they take away his beautiful robe. Notice there is nothing in there about Technicolor. We don't hear from Joseph. We will hear from him again, but he gets sent off to Egypt. His owner's wife betrays him. He gets sent to jail twice. Somebody in jail betrays him. This whole nine yards. And Joseph, though, doesn't give up being who God called him to be. In spite of being betrayed by his own family, in spite of being sold into slavery, in spite of all sorts of things that he could have a great laundry list to complain about, Joseph chooses to continue to be faithful to God. And because of that, Joseph chooses to stay in relationship. Now, how many times, and later, one other thing, Joseph is a prophet, right? And his prophecies come through his dreams. We'll find out that his dreams are actually true if you read 37 through 50. So what do we do with prophets in our day and age? Or let's not even decide who's a prophet. What do we do with someone who tells us something that we disagree with? How often do we persecute them? How often do we say, God, I wish they were dead, or we wish we could throw them in a pit and not have to listen to them on CSNBC or Fox News? How often do we discount being in relationship because someone gives a prophecy or an idea or an understanding different than us? And what we learn today in the Joseph story is you can't discount people, even sometimes if they wrong you, as long as you are living faithfully. And living faithfully means we don't actually get to throw people in pits. Living faithfully means when we do get thrown in the pit, we have to continue to be faithful and be in relationship. Because the person who is the naysayer for you today may just end up being the one person who can pull you out of the pit tomorrow. But we'll hear about that next week. Amen.